Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just a reminder to write a thought down. I've started seeing more and more of you doing it. I can see and on the phones and stuff, so that's good. We don't want to just come to church to get in and to get out. We want to hear from the Lord. And writing a thought down or two is how you get your spirit and your heart receptive, right? Receptive to His Word. And we've had worship and His presence is here, so our hearts are open. And we want to go right into His Word. Last week, the title of the sermon was, anybody remember? You can give them a hint, Victoria, put this one up. Anybody remember? All right, this we know. What exactly do we know? We know that the victory will come. That was last week, right? The victory will come. It will come. I have no doubt. Whatever prayer you have, whatever request you have, God is at work. The timing is what frustrates us, right? But God knows best. And we trust Him. That's why I like that song. It says, this we know, first that the enemy is on the run. You know, the enemy doesn't have any authority over you. He's on the run. This we know, the victory will come. This we know, every promise He ever made will come to pass. And then I love the little bridge of that song. We trust You, Lord. We trust You. Why? Because Your ways are higher than my own. It's all in the Scriptures. It's all there, right? This we know. This we know. And today is part two. Every promise He's ever made, it's going to happen. God doesn't just keep some promises. Our loving Heavenly Father keeps every promise that He's ever made. And some of you, we have the Word of God, which has a lot of promises in there. But some of you have had these moments through an altar call or through some confirmation where you know God spoke. And it wasn't just you hoping it. You just know that God spoke. And I've had one of those moments with this concept that a wave is coming. I just know that God has spoken it and kind of started it off by a miracle. I know in my heart that a wave is coming. God is on the move. And some of you have had those moments, a promise that God has made you in your quiet time, in an altar call, and maybe it's just between you and Him. Now, I remember the one time I was at summer camp, and I was in the altar, and I just felt I saw something from the Lord that one day, and this was when I was about 18 years old, and I had no intentions of being a pastor. And I remember a guy, someone prophesying over me that I would do something, and I saw this vision of me preaching or talking to you know, 100 young people and all that. And 20 years later, I just kind of shoved that aside, and then I was asked to speak at a youth conference or a youth camp, and I stood up, and the announcer right before, he said, "Oh, we're so happy we were able to get 100 and kids here today." And when he said that, it was like I had this flashback all the way back to summer camp 20 years ago. And I just stood in front of them and I just told them, "I got to tell you something." I told them, and God just moved. And I remember those promises. And you have some of those. You have some of those. If not, come to the altar more often and ask God, and go home and ask God, "Give me a promise, Lord." But every promise He's ever made in His Word or through His Holy Spirit, they will come to pass. Every promise. This I know. God has not changed. God is a good God, and He keeps His promises. Are you feeling it? He keeps His promises. I know it's not in your timing. I know You wish it would be this way or that way. How can I say this nicely? Should I say it nicely? It is, when we just continue to worry about things happening the way we want them to happen, or the way that would make us happy, it's really like a two-year-old, right? That wants it my way. If you're going to grow in the Lord, you're going to have to just get over that. It's not going to happen your way, but it is going to happen in a blessed way. And you will see the hand of God bring miracles, signs and wonders, blessings to your life. It just won't be what you wanted it to be. You see, that's where a lot of Christians are like, I don't know if I want to surrender that much. But as we've been learning the last few weeks, when you don't surrender all, you wander in the wilderness as Christians. How many Christians are living this life without power and are just wandering in the wilderness? Church, if you're coming to this church, that's not an option. I don't know if you got that message, but it's not an option to be mediocre, as Michelle spoke a few weeks ago. It's really not. Because we want to be great in His kingdom. And to be great in His kingdom, though we want it our way, has to die. Because God's ways are so much better than our own. As that song says, your ways are better than our own. God keeps His promises, every promise. God told Moses He would lead them out of Egypt. And God kept His promise. God told Joshua that the city of Jericho would fall. And God kept His promise. And notice that they didn't do it. They didn't do it their own way. They did it God's way. God said Jesus, the Messiah, would come from the root of Jesse. And God kept His promise. Jesse and King David, and all down the story, the heritage, the line. Jesus said, He would rise on the third day. Well, God kept His promise. He rose. And I want to spend some time on one of the best promises and the most interesting promises, and that's in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Because there's a story to be told about this promise. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substances that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shittim, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and He said, unto thy seed I will give you this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And we all know through archaeology, it's been proven, it's not a biblical tale, that the land of Canaan is modern-day Israel, right? That's what it is. And Abram, God told Abraham that he was going to make him a great nation and that he was going to give him this land. God keeps his promises. He really does. God made Abraham a very, very big promise that he would make him a great nation and that the nations of the earth would be blessed because of him. And unto his seed he would give a specific land. A specific land to his seed, better known as the promised land, Canaan, Israel, as we know it today. That's a pretty big promise. Many years went by, and everyone is having babies, except Abraham and Sarah. It's kind of hard for your seed to take over a nation if you're not having a baby. Right? So many years went by, and a lot of things are happening, and the population is growing, but not from Abraham and Sarah. Abraham is getting a little bit worried about this promise. So Abraham, if you turn to Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 through 6. So Abraham says this. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I have thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. Well, let me stop right there. So Abraham is getting worried about this promise. You can sense it, right? He's, okay, I'm a smart guy. He's not, God, there's no seed here. There's nothing happening here. But, so let me help you out, God. Let me help you out with your promise. So he says, I have this servant or this worker or steward named Eleazar from Damascus, and he's my heir. He's like an adopted son. And he's born in my house. How about that? Is that a check mark for your promise? Check. How many know that God doesn't do mediocre? He doesn't do mediocre. I like that. Now, that word's going to stick for a while, Michelle, so you're going to have to get used to it. Mediocre. I stole that word from her. He's not mediocre. He didn't just say, yeah, that sounds like a great plan, Abraham. That's exactly what I had in mind. Remember, this I know, he keeps every promise. So behold, verse 4, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come out from out of your own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven. Look at the stars. How many are they? And I'm sure Abraham said, I don't know. Well, so shall thy seed be. Wow. That's pretty bold promise given the circumstances. But how many know God has no limits? There's no boundaries with God. He will, if he needs to do a miracle, a sign and wonder to accomplish the promise that he's made for you, he will do it. There's no doubt. Because this I know. He keeps every promise. Every single one. He's a good God. So Abraham tries to help God out. So let me give you some advice. Do not try to help God out. Don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. But God simply does not need your help to execute his promises. He doesn't need you to move mountains. He just needs you to die to self. He'll do all the rest. Abraham tells God to make his steward the seed so that the promise can be accomplished. God didn't need his help. So God says, listen closely. In case you think I stuttered, listen very closely. My promise will come to pass and your seed will come from your bowels. God tells Abraham to look at the stars and he tells him that will represent his seed. Here's a lesson for us. God simply doesn't need our help to accomplish this promise. God will do it. If there are any delays in occurring on the journey to the promised land, or if there's any delays, it's not, God's not confused. God's not late. If we're wandering in the wilderness, that's a personal thing on us, right? We need to get going to dying to self, to the promised land, to his will, not my will, and being honest about all that. I spent a 4-week class talking about that, and it's so true if you grasp that, that the key to being great in his will is to serve and to minister to others and to die to your own will. There's no doubt in my mind that God will. I think Pastor Green said this. You can never outgive God. You die to self, God's going to just reward you abundantly through blessings that you've never heard of, dreamed of. It's true. It is true. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 1, just turn a few pages down. Genesis 16, verse 1. Now Sarah, spelled S-A-R-A-I, Sarai, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing children. I pray thee, go into the maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened unto the voice of Sarah. Interesting. So God gives him the promise one time. Then Abraham says, let me help you. And God says, no. Let me make this clear. I didn't stutter. You will have a child. And then Sarah comes into the picture and says, it's not happening. So Sarah decides to help God out. You know what happens when you start helping God? You start messing things up. Amen? Sarah started messing things up. And put yourself in her shoes, right? We trust you. That song said, we trust you. Because your ways are higher than our own. It takes faith. This Christian journey takes faith. Faith pleases God. That's what the Bible says. Faith pleases God. So, Sarah decides to try to help out. God made it clear to Abraham. But I guess he didn't make it that clear to Sarah. But then again, Abraham listened to Sarah, right? And he was on with the plot. So they're both messing things up now. So Sarah tried to help God out. Once again, God does not need our help. Amen? Some of you need to write that down, by the way. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, why, Lord, why don't I do this or do that? And it's like, it's not time yet. You just get in the way. Just wait. Yes, Lord, okay, but are you sure? Just don't get in the way. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. Let me go to Genesis 18, verse 9 first. Genesis 18, verse 9. Okay, I guess God has to come back and remind Abraham again. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which has been behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and were well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Right? You all know what that is, women, right? Do I have to spell that out? Do I have to put it up there? Okay, everybody knows what that is. It's over. The season has passed to bear children. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being all old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Why are you laughing at me? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which I'm old? I love verse 14. I underlined it in my Bible just when I was reading it this week. It wasn't underlined, and I said, this is a good one. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Is anything too hard for our Lord? But I like that second sentence because it tells it all. At his appointed time. Oh my. This I know. He keeps every promise. Yes, it's not in your time and not the way you want it. But we're going to get over that. We're going to trust Him. Because His ways are higher than our own. There's plenty of examples of people praying for loved ones, for their salvation. Because at the end of the day, before they leave this earth, all loved ones want from the other is that they go to heaven, that they receive Jesus as Savior. And you've heard story after story where people prayed for somebody all their life, and in the last few weeks or months or years of their life, the promise is kept. You raise a child the way he should go, he shall not depart. That is a promise. So no matter what your children are doing or they're way off course, you hold on to every promise he's ever made. You hold on. Is anything too hard? Anything too hard? For in God's appointed time, Sarah shall have a child. Genesis chapter 21:1-8. And ask the musicians to make their way forward. So God confirms again for the third time, Abraham, you will have a son. For the third time, God confirms this covenant. Is anything too hard? Is anything too hard for our Lord? Verse 21:1-8. And the Lord visited Sarah, and he said, Sarah did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. Bear Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. When did God answer this promise? At a set time. You see, that's so important for us to grasp. If God were to answer your promise earlier or outside of His time, then the promise itself would not bear fruit. But when it's done in God's time, it bears many, many fruit. And God is about bearing fruit, salvations, increasing His kingdom. See, that's why He does everything in His time. Because it's not about us feeling good about it. It is about people coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why His time is important. So the miracle has happened. He bare a son. And you know the story. As a matter of fact, when I was in Sunday school, they taught me this song. And everybody here, you may know it, right? Father Abraham had many sons. I am one of them. And so are you. So how many seed have come out of Abraham? Because of the nation of Israel. Because of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We are grafted in. We are one of the stars that Abraham looked up to count. Isn't that amazing? But it was His timing. There is a promise. So many promises in the Scriptures. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's a promise. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's a promise. He will give you peace that passes all understanding. Is a promise. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Is a promise. If you haven't gotten the tithing principle down in your life, then you're missing a big blessing, right? You know, you cannot give God. You be obedient to God. The blessings come. The only problem is they don't come in our timing. You see, the world doesn't understand when you give how God blesses because you don't see it right away. You give and you're like, I have less right now. Right? Give less. It's pretty simple. But faith, trust, His ways are higher than our own. He will keep every promise. And I want to end with Mark chapter 10 before we close with a song. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Here's a promise. And I really believe this is the character of our church, of who we are, where God's leading us. And it's this right here, this concept. I think every church has its focus and every little twist and turn, and the leader has a different vision, and that's all good because we need it all. But I believe that God is getting us ready to live this, act this, as a group's coming down next week to serve. Mark 10, chapter 35. They ask God, Jesus. Let me see if I can find it. 35. They asked James and John, said, you know, who would be great, Master, in your kingdom? And Jesus said unto them, verse 38, you know not what you're asking. And I'm going to skip to 42. But Jesus called them to 42. Jesus called them and He said, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great one exercises authority upon them. He's saying the world looks at leaders as, you know, as people in control and ruling as great. But that shall not be in my kingdom. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, which means what? Service, right? Those who serve will be great. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be a servant of all. You see, I believe that's what God's teaching us as a church. We got a group coming down and they're just like, we just want to help you. They have to raise money. They have to do a lot to come down, and they want to help us. And I'm like, we just want to serve you when you're here. You see, when you begin to catch a servant's heart, you're going to start seeing some great signs and wonders in God's timing. But I know, this I know, He will keep His promises. He will do an amazing work with a heart that gives and serves. That's a promise from God. So catch the the vision catch the fever, as they say, and start just giving joyfully and cheerfully and watch God do an amazing, amazing thing. Amen. Let's all stand and we're going to close with a song. Just a song. We're kind of making it a summer theme. This I know. Do you know that God is at work? Do you know that the enemy's on the run? Because we're catching a vision. Do you know that the victory will come? It will. Do you know that God keeps every promise that He has ever made? I just pray as we sing this song that you just don't look at the words, but close your eyes and know. Know. God's on the move. And no matter what you're going through, when you get to that part that says we trust you, just like Abraham and Sarah, they had their problems trusting. But God kept every promise. Heavenly Father, we trust you. We know there are things that we've been praying about that you promised us and we've been waiting. Well, this is a perfect story. Sarah passed the time that she could bear children and the promise still came. But Lloyd didn't know if his mother was alive or dead and could have been, but the promise still came. Because He keeps His promises. Every promise. Lord, as we sing this song together, just by Your Spirit, unite us. Unite us in spirit that our hope doesn't reside in what we see with our eyes. Our hope is in the name of Jesus. Our hope is in our faith that God will keep every promise He's ever made. In Jesus' name, let's sing. Amen. Amen. Lead us. Thank you, Jesus. Above all names, our hope is in You alone. Our strength in Your mighty name. Our peace in the darkest day remains, Jesus. This we know. We'll see the enemy run. This we know. We will see the victory come. We hold on to every promise You ever made. Jesus, You are unfailing. There's a way with You, Lord. Jesus. There's a way with You, Jesus.
This we know, we will see the enemy run. This we know, we will see the victory come. We hold on to every promise You ever made. Jesus, You are unfailing.
We trust You, Lord.
We trust. Your ways are higher than our own.
Open our eyes, Lord. Open
we
our
eyes. We trust you.
Help us to see what you see, Lord.
We trust you. Your ways are higher than our own. We trust you, Jesus. We trust you. Your ways are higher than our own.
Sing it, church. We trust him.
We trust you. No things we trust.
Children, and then the stories of Joseph, King David, and Jesus Christ. He kept every promise. Church, you leave this place today. You leave in faith. He's at work. Together, we all have them. We're waiting. But we're not going to try to help him. We're just going to trust him. Because his ways are higher than our own. Lord, seal this in our hearts. In Jesus' name. We need to pray for Elizabeth before we go. She broke her hip. Elizabeth from Ireland, who came to speak to the ladies. We're just hurting for her right now. She came and just poured out her heart to our ladies. And we just need to pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray for complete recovery, Lord. Complete recovery, Lord. She came and she served here. She fellowshiped with our ladies. And Lord, we just pray right now, Lord, that you would just completely heal her, Lord. Complete recovery, Lord. so that she may travel again, and we want to see her again here and ministering and doing some things that she did that just brought life to some of our ladies, Lord. So Lord, here we are many thousands of miles away, but we remember when she came and she spoke. So we return our faith, our prayers, that you do a complete healing of her hip and her body. Because we care for her. Because you care. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Keep her in your prayers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in church. I'm going to ask Pete if he'll just dismiss us in prayer officially. And Pete, go ahead.